Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Victory Tuesday in KC. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, joining us in studio. How you feel? We were talking during the break that I feel like post-game went kind of quick last night, and so which was nice. And then you get home, and it was still like the 14th or 15th inning of the baseball game. We'll get his try that. There we go.
I think it was I think I got home in the 15th inning.
Okay.
And you know, I had it on the radio, driving home, and I was just thinking like, okay, I was just doing math in my own head of like, okay, when is Ohtani up, and who?
But at that point, they'd stop pitching to him,
right? But what's so funny was like, you know, we're asking so much from the nine hitter just to get on so that I can at least see Ohtani be at the plate, and then of course the Blue Jays were like, you gonna swing at any balls? Any? No? Dang it. All right, walk him.
Since Barry Bonds got walked to the bases loaded, I've never seen something so like in the moment where you're like, they're done. They're done pitching to the man. And in fairness, they went 10 innings, Nate, without getting beat by Shohei Ohtani. So
correct.
Who's to say it was a bad strategy?
Freeman got him, but they kept
Ohtani from beating him for a while.
It was the perfect strategy, and it also like made things really awkward for Mookie Betts, who I love as a baseball player, one of my favorite baseball players, but he felt the pressure of like, because I'm the next guy up and they've been walking Ohtani, like the responsibility really falls on me. And so he didn't play well at the plate last night. But again, like, it's been a very fascinating series. I know a lot of guys in the locker room last night were talking about the game. Of course, Andy Reid's from L.A., so he clearly wants the Dodgers to win. But it's been a great series in terms of like, okay, how do we get around this guy? And later today, as they said on the broadcast, you tell me he's pitching?
That's what's insane. Normally, the starting pitcher the night before leaves the game early to go get rested.
Correct.
This guy was playing an 18-inning game.
Yeah, and there was all kinds of reports that he was pretty beat. Like, he was tired.
Oh, sure. So, it should be epic again tonight. More attention on that with not having, of course, any football in action. Real quick, because of the news in the last half hour, what have you heard? There's obviously multiple reports. I don't know if you've since tweeted about it as well.
No.
But Isaiah Pacheco reportedly has an MCL sprain. Some of the, you know, the official Twitter doctors out there, Jesse Morse and stuff, saying, you know, could be, depending on severity, 1 to 4 weeks. If it's a grade one, grade two, grade three, et cetera. We don't know the detail on that, it sounds like. We know the play that it occurred on. They did some testing,
right?
Yeah,
they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he looked thrilled to be coming off the sideline. He looked happy about what happened.
And so, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, ladies and gentlemen. But, of course, that involves, you know, adrenaline and wanting to go out there and finish the game. You know, I think Pacheco's actually started to find a rhythm.
I thought the whole running game is finding a rhythm.
Correct. So it's a bit of a... you know, unfortunate situation where I don't think it's medically reasonable to put him out there against the Buffalo Bills, even though it's a very marquee game before you have the bye week.
You buy 3 weeks by sitting him.
Yeah, by with having the bye week, I think you should do right by the player. We know the Chiefs have been developing Breshad Smith throughout the course of this season. We know the Bills struggle to tackle people with dynamic ability. So that'd be interesting to see. You know, I know that this might increase some of the trade speculation, but I don't know how much that was going to change even before the deadline at the running back position, because we know the Chiefs have been basically surveying the rest of the league for about a month now when it comes to the running back position. Yeah. So it's unfortunate because Pacheco, I thought, actually showed better vision. He actually showed a little bit more burst against the Commanders last night. But I don't think it's wise to really play him. He doesn't have to practice this week, really. You know, take all the precaution necessary. Sit him down for a couple weeks. You come back from the bye week, you get another chance to assess how he feels. Who knows if they'll make a trade again at the deadline, which is November 4th. So they will not be, you know, they won't be playing that week. But it's it makes for an unusual game plan because you still have the best short yardage running back in the league in Kareem Hunt. But
yeah, say that again. Say that. That's what's amazing.
Yeah, you have the best short yardage running back in all of football in Kareem Hunt. Now, how effective will he be if you increase his workload? Because he's the veteran, so you would assume he would get the start. I know people have asked me on many occasions, what does Elijah Mitchell do? Well, I guess we'll find out, guys. Because
I was going to say, will it be Mitchell? Will it be Clyde? Will it be Carson Steele? They technically have a bevy of guys who have run the ball.
Carson Steele
is
kind of interesting to me because he gives you a little bit more flexibility with some of the special teams shenanigans that the team has
had.
So
he'd have to be elevated, though, right?
Yeah. Correct. Whereas
Jack Cochran, know what holding is?
We'll get to that later.
Look, I'm not trying to play another man, but
so, like Nico Remigio has had multiple good kickoff returns that have just been wiped away because a guy can't sort of understand, like, you can tug a guy for like half a second, but then you got to let him go, you know, based on the change of direction of the returner. This is just simple football. And Jack Cochran was like, nah, baby, I cannot let you tackle Nico Remigio. So if you wanted to elevate Carson Steele, who knows? He could maybe give you better production on special teams just as much as giving you perhaps another option in the backfield if you like what you see more in practice from him versus Elijah Mitchell. Now, we've not seen Elijah Mitchell before. He would, I think, based on veteran status, he would be the guy.
Yeah, most likely.
Next in line.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, you've been scheming all these plays up for Breshad Smith. Let's see him next week against Buffalo, and let's see how he does on a pretty, you know, nice stage for the midpoint of your rookie season.
Patrick Mahomes last night, we've been discussing it all day here. He's in the middle of his best run since 2021.
2022,
right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. 2022, he was excellent.
Because this is the first time since 21, though, I think, that he's had
three touchdowns and 250 yards in three straight games.
So that's what you're basing out. But yeah, obviously MVP season and all that for sure. And is it just, what are you seeing? Because he's throwing 25 yard ropes out there. He's, of course, manipulating defenses.
Yep.
He's doing it all. He looks so confident and comfortable doing it for the first time in a couple years.
And because of his ability to be very accurate within the pocket, it actually frees up him to play his play style. And that was one of the things I asked him after the game is, okay, you were pretty good within the pocket. And I can look up the numbers here pretty quickly, but outside the pocket, guys, he was lethal yesterday.
Yeah, he's a monster.
So because he now has guys who have been in the system multiple years, obviously Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice coming back from the injury and the suspension, Travis Kelce still ad-libbing routes, he can manipulate zone coverage. And the problem for the Commanders and the problem for the Bills, unless you want to go, you know, really against the grain, is you have to play zone against these guys to keep a lid over Tyquan Thornton run by you. Or, hey, let's not put you in a one-on-one matchup with Xavier Worthy.
But
because
that's what got Juju so open, was running zone. He just sat there 30 yards down the field or whatever it was.
So it's, you know, it's just one of those things where Patrick Mahomes on the run, this is via Next Gen Stats, ladies and gentlemen, was 6 of 8 for 86 yards, 2 touchdowns, a passer rating of 149. I mean, I mean, come on. Like, what are we doing, man? Which means you're getting, obviously, suitable protection. You're getting multiple guys in the routes, which is what Andy Reid always loves to do. And that was one of the struggles, I think, from a coaching standpoint that he had last year. Because Mahomes was getting hit so much, because they did not have viability at the left tackle position, you had to actually, you should say, hey, maybe we should have just three guys in the route, not necessarily five or four, depending on the down and distance. Well, now you're flooding these zones because you're having five guys in the routes and two of them are going deep. So that allows Juju Smith-Schuster, they put Bobby Wagner in a torture chamber for that touchdown for Rashee Rice, where it's just like, well, what do you do? Well, you're a statue, sir. That's what you are. You've become a statue because that secondary move from Rashee Rice just creates so much, separation and opening within the zone. And then, of course, I think it's very fascinating that Travis Kelce's best game of the season comes with having just a complementary of speed around him to where the defense can't necessarily key on him with two defenders at all times like the Eagles did in the Super Bowl because, hey, we only have to worry about one guy beating us deep in Xavier Worthy. Well, now they have multiple guys that can do that.
What's funny is they're not even having to go way down. Like in this game, they didn't have to go way down the field.
Mm-mm.
They just beat him to death 10 to 15 yards at a time. Right. It wasn't even like,
that's right.
Ball didn't go 40, 50 yards down the field. Hell, I'm not even sure he had an attempt that was that deep in the game. Like I think he just like beat him up in the middle.
In terms of air yards, he only had two passes that were 20 or more yards past the line of scrimmage via air yards. Of course, he was 2 of 2 for 56 yards. Pass rating of 118.
One was Juju Smith-Schuster. Mm-hmm. And was the other?
And the other one was Travis Kelce on the 31-yard completion on the
yards after the catch.
That was a 38-yard. You're thinking of the corner route, which again, like I talked about earlier, like that's them flooding the zones where I think it's either Tyquan or Xavier sort of pushing that perimeter defender if they're playing like.
That would have been Tyquan, I think.
Yeah. He was the 30 when he got behind the entire defense on the play that broke up, and he was down towards the sideline.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, I know which one you're talking about.
So those, again, like, if I'm the corner there and my responsibility is to play some variation of cover 3, cover 4, okay, no one's got to get behind. No one can get behind me. I got to keep everything in front and keep my eyes on the quarterback. Well, if the receiver's burning me and pressing me up the field 20, 25 yards, man, that 15-yard hole is going to be there every single time. And that's where Kelce can be what he has always been throughout his career, which is just devouring zone coverage and knowing how to sort of tweak his route to give himself even more space between defenders.
We've got Nate Taylor from ESPN, our Chiefs insider, hanging out with us here on Cody and Gold.
Yeah, when you're looking through like some of the other stuff, and this is where like the blowouts and everything else kind of in between it, Nate. I think what stood out is for the last 2 years, I had to watch the Chiefs grind through, and we all kind of got used to it. They're a good football team. Yep. We understand that. They won 15 games. They know how to win. They know how to win in the playoffs. They get all that stuff. They're kicking teams' ass again.
Yeah.
Like, if I were other teams, even though they're 5-3, that would be the most concerning to me. They're not beating teams. They're beating the hell out of teams. Mm-hmm. They've won by double digits in all five of their last wins. They've won by 13 or more in all five of their last wins. And if I could just blinky mind erase... Like, if I could just forget that they did something weird against the Jags that can just be a stand. And I can. Honestly, I can separate that game and be like, they were the better team. I know they were a better team.
Yeah.
They were beating up on them, too, and that game got weird, and they let it get weird, whatever.
Yeah.
They are destroying teams. Like I feel as confident as I have in years going into Buffalo.
Right.
Versus, like, lots of times where I'm like, ah, these are even teams. I don't know. They're better than Buffalo. Yep. Doesn't mean they'll beat them, but they're a better team than Buffalo. I wasn't as sure about that the last couple of years.
Yeah, I would still like them to go out there and prove it, to your point, Cody.
Sure.
I just want to remind people that what was Trevor Lawrence's best game of the season? It was Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So since week 2, when the Chiefs were 0-2, of course, and they did not have Xavier Worthy, and Rashee Rice was still suspended, and the defense, I think, was still sort of figuring out its own identity, since week 2, your quarterback, whoever the opponent is, has to play lights out. Like, that has to happen. And
they got to play their best game. Yeah, that's fair. Because Jared Goff didn't and they lost.
Correct.
Lamar Jackson a couple weeks before that didn't and they lost.
Yep. And give credit to Trevor Lawrence, too, because he had the fumble on fourth down on the one-yard line. He should have had a pass that was intercepted, of course, so the Chiefs didn't convert there. But one of the things that I was interested in seeing about this team in particular this year is, did they have the killer instinct? did they have the ability to say, okay, not only are we now in control of the game, but now we're going to squeeze you even more. We're going to really command our dominance to reflect that on the scoreboards. And they have actually done that. And I think that was the last true lesson they learned from that loss in Jacksonville. They were up 14-0.
I know. They were controlling that game, too.
And let that game sort of get back into, like, this weird back and forth. Of course, we all remember the pick six from Mahomes. Since then, when they have gotten a lead, they have pushed. They have extended. The defense has held up on its side.
And then they can sit on in the fourth instead of sitting on in the third, which Andy was guilty of a lot of years.
Correct. And one of the reasons that you can say they have developed a better killer instinct this season than even last year was Andy finally realizing that he is the best quarterback on the field. He has the best short yard running back
in all of the league.
And you actually have four downs to play with. Not three.
Yeah, I think the stat floated around was that the 10 successful fourth down conversions before this was before the fourth quarter last night. The most through eight games by any team since at least 2000.
Here we go, guys.
I love it.
Yeah, that's the killer instinct. You have the best. You have the most talented quarterback, and he has a full complementary of his skill position players. And again, not that we all knew this was coming or that we knew that this was going to be part of the offense when the season began, but Kareem Hunt has once again, I think last year it was so representative of what he did in terms of toughness and grittiness and proving to himself that, like, yeah, he could be a redemptive character in their season in trying to go for a three-peat. Well, now this year he's actually changed some of his own play style to be like, okay, my role is third down. You hand me the ball on fourth down, I am not going backwards. I'm going forward. Hey, if you need me, Patrick, when you start to do that scramble drill, I can turn into Jerick McKinnon. I can turn into Samaje Perine from last year.
You need me to get a couple yards. I got you.
Yeah, if you need me to, leak out to be an available passing option for you on fourth down against, you know, a team we should beat in the Commanders. Hey, I am in the end zone. I'm ready to go. Throw me the ball. Touchdown. Like, this is him building trust, and so. Yes, the offensive line deserves a ton of credit for this fourth down success, but there should be no reason why Andy and Matt Nagy should go into these games not thinking we have four downs to get 10 yards, and our defense is not a liability anyway. So even if we're unsuccessful for whatever, you know, random reason on that particular down, it's not like the game is going to immediately swing in the other team's advantage from a momentum standpoint because you still have – obviously, quality players on the defensive side of the ball.
I'll ask you the question. We talked about it last week, so I think it's good. It's even better today. So, like I said earlier in the show, I think the reason the Chiefs defense doesn't get the credit is the same reason like a good offensive team who doesn't hit home runs doesn't, or a good offensive team who doesn't score touchdowns or Mahomes, whatever, right?
Yep.
They don't have sacks, so people don't want to respect them. I pointed out earlier in the show, they are top five in yardage allowed per game. They're fourth. They are number two in points per game allowed. They are top three in yards per play allowed defensively. Everything except sacks points to this is as good of a defense as someone like Denver.
Yeah.
A team that people like gush over and over again. What do you think? Last week when we did this, I said, leave out Spags for a minute because I understand he's a huge part of it. And scheme is certainly part of what they play. Why are they so good talent-wise on defense? Why is this working? I think it's linebackers. Gold mentioned secondary. It's probably a combination of the two, but what is working for them defensively?
I'm glad you asked me this because I think this is something that I need to like actually nail down and like get some substantive reporting in terms of like writing about this for ESPN.com because they are the they're not the headline, you know, for this team right now because of the offense. I think, and I know this sounds so simplistic and not sexy, when they hit you, you go down.
They're physical. They're a physical defense. And I wouldn't say that about every Chiefs defense.
Right. They tackle. And this was one of my biggest concerns when Justin Reed was not re-signed and he went to New Orleans was that, hey, man, that guy was one of the best tackling players in the open field. You know, even though he had some deficiencies in coverage, even though he was losing maybe a step in terms of quickness and speed, but man, when he hit you, you went down. And they have done such a good job at tackling to where it is not something that you can put on the highlights. It just isn't. But you know, again, we have all this tracking data. And so I'm looking at it right now where you say, hey, missed tackles. Per Next Gen Stats, they only had 3 missed tackles the entire game.
And they might have all been in the first drive.
Well, I think
because in this third quarter, right. They were hitting everything short. They Correct. Couldn't get anything going, Washington.
But. Right. And some of that is, too, like, hey, give credit to Marcus Mariota. He's still very slippery within the pocket when the play or the pocket sort of collapses and the play doesn't go according to structure. 3 missed tackles. People have always wondered, like, hey, as much as Steve Spagnuolo loves Nick Bolton, as much as he's more of a cerebral, instinctual, intangibles led defender who's a true leader, when he hits you, you go down. Tremari Connor used to have a real issue last year about like over pursuing, which would lead to missed tackles. He's actually cleaned a lot of that up. I mean, it's fascinating that, hey, you're not getting anything extra out of us and you're not breaking tackles and then going for 40, 50 yards. That's been one of the biggest issues with the Bills defense this year is that they could be structurally sound, but their angles and their tackling ability has not been up to par in recent years. So, yes, it's a great scheme because you're going to...
This is a very sound defense is what it sounds like. They can tackle, they can cover.
Yes.
They're actually 25th lowest in penalties for on the defensive mm-hmm. side, even though they're
a penalty
team.
They're not as grabby as maybe they have been in the past.
You say Legarius Sneed not just as physically beating people up at the snap?
I kind of miss it.
I miss it too.
Yeah, not quite as grabby there in the secondary. But we have mentioned, and we'll keep an eye on it a week from today, as you know, is the trade deadline. You know, the defensive line, and who's that third guy who can step up to go with Chris Jones, who's obviously had a frustrating season because he's getting double teamed every damn play.
Every play, guys. Good.
Next Gen Stats put it out that, you know, when the rare times where he gets single, you know, one-on-one, he wins at a greater rate than anybody else in football right now, but he doesn't get that often. Carl Loftus, of course, got the sack. Mike Dana, though, welcome to the party.
Hey!
That was a hell of a game for him.
Nice
interception
night.
And a sack. We've been saying for weeks that either Charles Omenihu or Mike Dana, internal options, that's it. I mean, that is kind of it. You agree?
I mean, if they have to make a trade.
Clark's making it sound like they're going to.
Well, that's why I asked him last night.
That
I was
you.
Come
okay,
on. I was
yeah.
like, come on, man. Come on. And I was
Clark's like, he likes to be aggressive.
Like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Like, yeah, okay. So,
now,
so
are we gonna
do you,
be
sir.
Rotational guy, or is there a bigger name? Like, is it going to be a name that people get excited about, or is it going to be like, all right, this is a guy that can rotate in?
Yeah, Steve Johnson averages 3 sacks a season, or is it Kayvon Thibodeau, you know?
It would be nice if they got, like, a legit, like, dude. I don't know how viable that is because then it becomes, and that's why I wanted to ask Clark, then it becomes an actual ownership question because, hey, this might take a 3rd-round pick. And that's like, that's when it gets a little, like, uncomfortable.
They do have an extra pick in next year's draft,
correct.
Right? Not third. Is
not
it third or fourth?
I got to double check here in a minute.
I know they got an extra one somewhere.
But, like, hey, you can make it conditional, right? Hey, maybe it's a fourth that elevates to a third. Based on playtime structure, you know, whether, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins trade of it all last year was like, well, if we make the Super Bowl, and it's like, okay. But if he doesn't play 50% of the snaps, and it's like, hey, he can't be on the field 50% of the snaps because we might actually make the Super Bowl.
He didn't end up, because they had to, he came up just short on a couple of those.
Of course, because they were tracking it the whole second half of the season. Hey, take him off the field. One of the funny parts about asking Clark is like, hey, man, that really does come down to you because we know Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Brett Veach, they're all in favor of making a trade for a defensive lineman. It might be easier to trade for a running back because that might not take as much
and there's
compensation.
More available, I feel like.
Correct. So, yeah, when it comes down to that, it would be nice if they actually got a guy that was, for whatever reason, disgruntled or, you know, not having the best season himself or needs a change of scenery or, hey, has not been on a championship caliber team. You know, maybe a guy that's, you know, in Miami somewhere. All I'm saying is it would be nice if there was someone who you could, you know, convince to come to Kansas City and sort of reestablish themselves in the league. But if it's not a trade, it's going to have to be George Karloftis, and it's going to have to be, and this is not fair to him, but it's going to have to be Ashton Gelati.
Yeah, that's tough as a rookie, but also like is what it is. You're the next guy on the roster.
Correct. Right?
And Karloftis contributed his rookie year.
Correct.
Felix didn't. It just depends on the player a lot of times, but I think they wanted to slow walk him more.
Correct.
And so at this point, they have. They've made it halfway through the season, and he's a part-time player. So
right.
If it's time to ratchet it up, this doesn't feel like – post-bye doesn't feel like the worst time to ratchet up a defensive lineman. The problem is they don't really have post-bye to figure out where he is as a player. They got a week to make a trade.
Right. Yeah. And, again, you'll have a little bit more insight following these Sunday's games. But, yeah, they're on the phone. They're handling certain things. And I just get the sense that if things fall in their favor – that being the Chiefs, they will be able to make a trade because we all said this too. Like they're still short at defensive tackle. Like they still only have like three, maybe two and a half viable players at defensive tackle, let alone at the edge position as well.
Also, we've talked to you before. Christian Wilkins is a name closer to Thanksgiving, maybe to keep an eye on as well. The trade deadline 1 week from today. Up next, I want to ask Nate about some media drama. Yeah, some media drama in the press box last night involving Dusty Likens and a member of the media. We want to find out if you know who the individual was that he got into it with. We'll also look ahead to the Bills a bit more and the rest of the
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
AFC next. Back here on a Victory Tuesday, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We got Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, hanging out with us. We'll get to Buffalo. We'll get to the AFC in a second. But
I got to ask, did you happen to see the the scuffle that maybe Dusty almost got in with we think Washington reported.
Oh, explain this to me. This is after the game?
After the game. You know how we all make our way towards the elevators to go downstairs to get to the locker room.
And there's a packing order. It stinks. You get there later, you got to get down there later, you know?
Correct.
So there was a line, and you couldn't see the elevators from where we were standing in the hallway. That's how long the line was.
Huh.
All right. Meanwhile, the one of the staff members there's cleaning up the buffet or whatever still. So she's trying to get through with, you know, pans or whatever. All right. So we all kind of part the sea a little bit so she can make her way through. Then right after this woman leaves and passes Dusty and I and others, this guy, and I don't recognize him, so we assume he's with the Washington Beat, because we know anybody on the KC.
Correct, yeah.
Follows her and kind of like goes around the corner and is like, you know, looking around, like, and Dusty.
And inching forward closer to the elevator.
And again, I don't remember exactly what Dusty said, but it basically is like, hey, what are you doing, man? Kind of thing.
Yeah. I think he said, like, go ahead, look on through. Like, kind of giving, like, calling him out for the behavior.
Yeah, yes, just going up there. Just going up there, man. And then the guy turns back around, and he goes, as he passes Dusty, shut the F up. But he sits this himself. He's like, shut the F up. And that was kind of, everybody kind of started laughing a little bit. Somebody from DC who I know, who was listening to the show earlier, texted me. They said, who was it? And I tried to describe. We think we've narrowed it down to one or two people, but we don't know.
We pretty much described every sports writer on the planet.
Yeah, right.
Middle-aged, 50, white male.
55 years old. Definitely, well,
I
mean, you know.
I like, Nate, you could have picked out 70 sports writers in a lineup. Yeah. We didn't get any closer on the description.
Cody asked for a description. I go, well,
between the age of 40 and 50, white, salt and pepper, middle aged.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
What else did you say?
Salt and pepper.
I said salt and pepper hair, maybe 55, a little shorter than me. Definitely looked like a rider, Nate.
Incredible.
Yeah. And I think he's on the Washington Beat.
As long as it wasn't my good buddy, well, John Kime.
I don't know. I sent a photo to Dusty, and he did not think that it was him.
Hey, he hasn't been ruled out.
My guy is not a suspect in this, Your Honor. Okay.
Leave John's name out of this.
John Kime is a good soul. He would never do such a thing.
It's the only game all year Dusty's covering, and of course, he has managed to everybody else has he's managed best. To get somebody to tell him best. To shut the F up.
The best. So... when someone does that to you in a public manner, you gotta do something. You got that. What was that? Huh?
What if Dusty would have responded by like, excuse me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great call. I'm sorry, what?
Excuse me, sir. I wish he would have said that.
Should I shut the what up?
Poor Carol in the elevator's like, guys. I'm down.
It's all down there.
I would if it got to the point where I would have pulled out my phone and started recording Dusty arguing with this guy.
It is very chaotic after a football game, ladies and gentlemen. I want to make that very clear for like reporters and videographers and trying to get down there, especially when it's a night game. Yeah. It's late at night.
It's crowded and tight.
You can be a little cranky, I guess. but I mean, you're gonna get down there. You ain't missing nothing. You ain't missing a single thing, man. So you know, even though we feel rushed and we feel, you know, busybodies, it's like, you should calm down. You know, we're all going to the same place. Let the lady do her job.
Yeah, I think so. And I'll point this out, Nate. So when we're waiting downstairs outside the locker room, there's a roped area. We're waiting there. And then Nate, normally it's like when Trent McDuffie walks by, they're like, Trent, can I get your arm? Nate Taylor has his own section as well. Wow. It's impressive.
Shout out to the people.
Nate will walk by and people like Nate, and Nate will go over there. Yeah. Like, he's not signing autographs, man, but he might as well be.
I mean, it's really
nobody
nice.
Gets their name shouted more than Nate Taylor.
Oh, come on.
Walking by. I'm serious.
I did not pay these people. They're doing this
out of the kindness of the heart.
Yeah, doing out of the goodness of their heart. I appreciate them. Hopefully they listen here on 96.5 The Fan. But yeah, it's a nice little like, oh, me? Little moment. So I try to talk to fans as much as I can, and it's always cool to be like, of course, man, like, ask me anything. I think I told you guys a lot of the conversations over the last couple of weeks have been about the Josh Simmons situation. Sure. And so I've tried to inform fans as best I can about that.
What did you make of the answer from Clark Hunt on that yesterday about Josh Simmons? And I know you had reported over the weekend that he was.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Post bye week is what you had said, right?
Correct. He's not. I don't think he's coming back this week. But, you know, that again, this is a fluid situation. It can change. I'm not trying to say that like, hey, like it's got to be on this particular date. That's not necessarily what we heard, but we, you know, based on my reporting, it's just like, yes, he's the plan as of Friday. And I don't think it's changed, at least from what I've been told, that, you know, hopefully he comes back either during the bye week or after the bye week and can start to, you know, build himself back to, you know, being available to be on the field. Because, of course, he hasn't practiced. I don't know. We don't know, like, if he's been weight training, you know, doing the usual things you do during the course of an NFL season. But, yeah, like... It's really nice when fans are like, oh, it's really cool. Like, oh, I recognize this person. And you're like, yes, and the team you root for has these guys, right? So just be mindful that like they're also they're coming this way too. Like you don't have to. You know, you don't have to
shout
me out.
With me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Drew Tranquil's like right there. Like you can go get him. You can touch him. You know, Drew's one of the nicest guys on the team. So go talk to Drew Tranquil. But
when you look at the rest of the AFC, let's take a look. I guess let's keep it to the AFC for now. I told you in the break, I'm having a really hard time. Like I know the teams are good. Like I know Buffalo's good. I know Denver's good. I know the Chargers are good. I know the Colts are good. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time diagnosing how good. Are you in the same boat? Do you have like kind of a sense of the teams that you believe in more? You know, like are the Bills one of the teams you believe in more? Because the Panthers and Andy Dalton doesn't tell me anything.
The experience of the Bills, I think, is very
feels like last year's Chiefs in a way.
Important, yeah. Again, their defense is a little bit of a scary situation, especially now with Ed Oliver being hurt. Like he was one of their most reliable veteran players. And so, again, like, can they stay upright on defense? I still have a ton of love for Josh Allen. It's great that they've now realized that James Cook is good at football.
Took him a few weeks. All that money. Well, I don't understand. Like,
hopefully they forget this week.
It's so, like, guys, you don't have to put it all on Josh's shoulders. I've said this before, but, like, the Chiefs have better receivers than the Bills. And that's why Josh Allen has to play a little bit more of a hero ball style than Patrick Mahomes does right now. When it comes to the rest of the AFC, I just need the Colts to stay good because I just need everybody to get to know who that owner is. God, I love her.
It's on the sideline taking notes.
Taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
Look, just putting on anything. You like just, coming into the stadium just wearing something brand new, knowing her team about to dominate.
They are destroying.
Destroying people. Poor Titans. You know, they get the Steelers this week, so I guess we'll see. That's another sort of
medium test. It's not
right.
Like Steelers defense is still a struggle, so I expect Jonathan Taylor and some of those other guys do well, but
okay. So one of the biggest questions about the viability with the Denver Broncos, I thought, was not their defense. I thought their defense was going to be excellent this season. It's been pretty good, but there's been some low moments.
Sertan injury is different.
Right. And poor Riley Moss. Stop throwing the ball my direction, man.
Yeah.
But when it came to the Broncos, I thought much of this year was about how much could Sean Payton improve Bo Nix from week 1 to week 18. Because they did make the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And so you want to build upon that. I thought Bo Nix was awful. And then in one quarter against the Giants, figured it out.
And he's been really good since.
Yep. And I'm just like, was that sort of a changing point for the Broncos to be a more, you know, worthy opponent in the AFC West? But much of their season comes down to, hey, man, like, can you just have consistent, repeatable habits that can lead to good football? Because there's still times where I'm like, I don't know if he has the accuracy or the decision-making to get it done. But hey, with Sean Payton scheming it up, I at least have to give it respect right now. The Chargers, we talked about this also, like, are they going to get healthy? It's great that at least Joe Alt came back to give Justin Herbert a little bit of time. They found apparently this new young tight end.
Yeah, Gatson out of nowhere.
I mean, that's cool.
Were they stashing him? Why didn't they get him on the field for the first three weeks?
You got him and McConkey, okay, we might have something right now. We'll see if they do anything at the trade deadline, but they should be encouraged to maybe go out there and get an extra player or two. The AFC is not as clearly defined as we would be in the middle of the season, but I do want to see how do the Broncos and how do the Chargers do over this next month, because I always like to say real football starts Thanksgiving. That's when you know it's going to get cold. That's when you know you got to manage the line of scrimmage. You know you got to run the ball with some level of success, and you're starting to throw that football in cold weather. It's different than doing it in September and October. That's why I think people really should understand just what Patrick Mahomes does every January. Guys, it's cold. It's windy in Arrowhead, and he be slinging that thing to really put a pressure on the defense that Tua Tagovailoa can't do necessarily. Like, hey, but Bo Nix can throw it deep, but like, can you be accurate in cold, you know, brutal weather? Like, okay, I want to see it. We've seen Aaron Rodgers do it, but can his body hold up for the duration of the season? hey, man, you going to win a playoff game, Justin Herbert? Like, you got a good coach now. The defense is adequate, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no one that should necessarily scare the Chiefs, at least at this point through the season.
I guess some of this is good.
No, I was just going to say the Patriots are the one that is fascinating to me because it's year one with Vrabel.
Drake May looks awesome.
He looks better than Bo Nix by a wide margin.
He does. Drake May looks awesome. Third best odds to win MVP right now. Their schedule
is ridiculous.
So soft that I will be shocked if they don't get to 11 wins. I really will. Right, they're 6-2, right?
Yes,
I think if they don't get to 11,
and
something
they could win the division.
Absolutely.
If the Chiefs beat the Bills on Sunday,
it becomes way more realistic for the Patriots given their schedule. I know they have Buffalo still,
but they already have one of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they have two against the Jets, one against the Giants, one against the Bengals.
Look at this schedule,
Falcons,
man.
But at home, Falcons. Who knows what you're getting week to week?
That is very much like a helter skelter team.
Whoever they beat good teams and lose to bad teams. I don't know what to think about.
Whoever doesn't win the AFCs feels like they're the 5 seed right now.
Well, it depends on how good the Bills or excuse me, it depends AFC on how good. Good. The AFC West sort of shakes out with either the Broncos or the Chargers.
Okay, or the Chiefs, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Say the Chiefs win the division.
Because it feels like to me that I could see like 5 seed Buffalo or New England going to 4 seed Pittsburgh in the opening round. Indy, let's say, ends up after all this is the one just because where they're at. So then you know, depending on how you think the bracket shapes out, then you have 5 seed New England or Buffalo going to Colts divisional round weekend. Oh, and the Chiefs get...
Sign me up.
Yeah, the Chiefs get... who would that be? The 3 seed at that point, which would be if the Chiefs are the 2. So it would be the 3.
Right now, the 3 seed would be the Steelers, but I don't think any of that's going
to... Okay, I assume the Steelers are the 4.
So I guess the AFC...
Would it be the AFC South? Well, I guess no.
No, the Colts would be the 1. Who am I missing?
That's it, right?
Well, let me go through the
Steelers. Or am I off on my... Because I was just being honest
that whatever the AFC standings are now.
I'm predicting Steelers 4, and in this hypothetical, I was saying that the Bills or Patriots were the 5. Right. Okay, so the winner. So
yeah,
Chiefs
2
seed would be hosting, if they're the 2 seed, hosting Buffalo or New England in the divisional round.
Which is gravy. And I'm good with all of it. The Patriots to me are a we don't make mistakes team. And there's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
Like, even though Bo Nix got sacked a gajillion times by Myles Garrett, didn't really make mistakes. It didn't lead to him, like, crumbling or it compounding in his play. He just played brilliantly in the second half. That was one of the better things about watching Red Zone was actually seeing Drake May sort of turn it on as the game moved on. I know the Ravens are, like, in the wind.
Nah. I'll pay attention to them. We get down to them later. Hey. They're still the favorite to win the North.
They right? Are. That's they my are. Point. I'm like, I mean, if Lamar Jackson can stay healthy and can be as dynamic as we've seen him in the past.
Look, I'd much rather the Steelers make the playoffs than Cincinnati and Joe Burrow gets healthier. Lamar Jackson figures it out. Go ahead. Keep on winning, Pittsburgh. I don't care. I don't care what round, what city, what time. Yeah. Like, that all sounds fine to me. But
yeah, but the Patriots don't really make a ton of mistakes. They are no gruff, you know, we know exactly who we are. We know the type of play style we need to play in order to win. And our quarterback is going to continue to grow over the course of the season. So they've started to put together some interesting pieces around Drake May. So it's interesting to see if the Patriots can actually win the East, if the Chiefs do their part on Sunday.
I think, you know, what's funny about the current AFC playoff picture is if you make it past the smell test of beats Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs – in the AFC title game, or to go to the AFC title game instead of him. Daniel Jones? That doesn't pass the test. Drake May in his first ever postseason start? No.
We asking a lot, guys.
Bo Nix in his second or third career postseason start? No. 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers seems unlikely.
All right.
Finally got to Josh Allen, and we're finally there. Say,
here we go. It's all on you, Josh.
It takes me all the way down the list before I get there.
It's hard to project at this point. One of those guys playing, again, kind of outside of themselves, elevating when the moment is required to lead their team to, like, maybe a fourth quarter game-winning drive.
Who's the worst quarterback that got to Tom Brady? Because he got knocked out in an early playoff a couple of times. Who are the guys who got to him? Was Mark Sanchez one of them?
Mark Sanchez would be the But if you actually go back and rewatch those games, Mark Sanchez played well, guys. You could say either him or Joe Flacco. This was before Joe Flacco became elite. Mm-hmm. He actually became elite because he went out there and beat.
Yeah, that's what put him in there.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Eli Peyton, Joe Flacco, and Mark Sanchez.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Jake Plummer beat him.
Jake Plummer, Nick Foles.
Well, Jake Plummer had a roster around him in Denver.
The shocking ones are Jake Plummer and Ryan Tannehill. And Mark Sanchez. Well, you're like, Ryan, man, you Tannehill like those three guys.
Was at the end of the Patriots era.
He still got him, though.
But still got him. Hey, who was Ryan Tannehill's coach?
Mike Vrabel.
There you go, baby. I'm just saying, like, you don't ever have to question Mike Vrabel. That dude know what he doing.
Look, if you made me rank the current AFC playoff field by coach, and you said, which coaches do I like the best? Read one.
Yep.
And Vrabel's probably two.
It's either Vrabel. I would say, okay.
I'd have him ahead of McDermott.
He's actually
of Payton.
He actually got a team to the AFC Championship game.
Payton would still be fairly high on my list.
I don't know, man.
You don't buy into him? You just don't like him, or you don't buy into him?
It's not that I don't like him. It's just.
I just have very
much. I have more respect for the consistency of Mike Tomlin. And, okay. I just need to see more from his development of Bo Nix.
You put Steichen to be the most interesting guy to rank in there?
Well, Steichen's interesting because they've really got the scheme down, and he's simplified things for a competent quarterback in Daniel Jones. And give Daniel Jones credit. When the ball is there to be ripped, he rips it. I also think, weirdly enough, because he played in East Rutherford for the duration of his career, much of the Colts being in the dome actually helps Daniel Jones. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And having, again, when he made the playoffs with the Giants, Saquon Barkley, as we all know, was excellent. So you pair him with another
running backs have an insane year.
Running back.
Yeah.
Hey, you got decent protection up front. We all know Quentin Nelson's still very good at football. They don't have the greatest offensive line, but they got a good one. They've leaned into the running game. They've been playing from ahead for much of their games this season. So you can be a little bit more aggressive with your quarterback based on decision making. And playing in a dome, man, it helps.
I think it's a big factor. I know everybody will say, "Well,
a dome for these last 5 years."
I know everybody is saying
10 years.
I know everybody's saying, "Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, he's got a rushing attack, so it won't matter if they play in the cold." But I still do want to see Daniel Jones' performances if they have to start playing outdoors in cold weather. Maybe come playoff time. If they're the one seed, it's not going to matter.
It's not going to matter.
It won't matter. Exactly. That's why it's key, Nate. Awesome stuff as always, man. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Tomorrow, we're back at it, 10 to 2. Josh Klingler will join us. Ross Tucker will join us. We'll also talk more about Andy Reid, who just loves going for fourth and shorts now. And I love it as well. We'll see you tomorrow.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
So I made the new Eggo protein waffles the other day for my kids, and they couldn't believe how good they tasted or that they were packed with protein. They have the same great Eggo taste we all know and love, plus 20% of your daily protein. They seriously taste amazing. Whether it's part of your breakfast before school or a quick bite before practice, new Eggo protein waffles and pancakes are an easy way to keep everyone happy. Head to your local grocery store to fuel your morning with Eggo protein waffles and pancakes, available at retailers nationwide.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.